It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
2 nights, we have our Buffalo Bills Media Fantasy Football Draft. How about that, Josh? Basically, a bunch of the beat reporters or, you know, reporters, whatever title you want to give people, TV, radio, print, we all get together. Either in person, there'll be an in-person element for a bunch of us tonight. And if they can't make it in person, there's a, you know, virtual element that they can join in and, you know, do it online. And tonight is our draft. There are so many people. We have two divisions, and then at the end, the two divisions play off for the ultimate championship. Like, it's two leagues, and then the winners play off for the ultimate championship. I did win the league I was in last year, but then I lost in the championship, I believe, to John Scott. I mean, it's such a blur now, I don't even want to give John credit, but I think John Scott actually won that. So that's what we have going on tonight. I know a lot of you have drafts coming up. I've actually drawn a lot of people's drafts for, and I've done cameos, and people say, hey, can you draw our draft? And it's really cool, and we have fun with it. And I've had my son help me pick some of the names, or I just pick some of the names, or here's the reveal. I've done that. That's pretty cool. So I know a lot of you are doing drafts tonight. By the way, you can still, you know, check that out if you want to do it. But this weekend as well, it's going to be a big draft weekend. And then next week, I have a draft on Wednesday night, the night before the season starts. And then we're rocking and rolling on Thursday with NFL football and, of course, fantasy football. And joining me right now on the Western Hotline is our guy, Adam Krautwurst. He is at Full Time Fantasy, the Deep End Fantasy Football podcast as well. Works a lot and does some stuff with Mike Shope here on WGR as well. And Adam, thanks a lot, as always, for joining me here to break down fantasy football drafts and the final weekend of drafts and final week.
Yes, thanks for having me, Sal. Very, very exciting, actually. I'm drafting next week after the first game, so this is not my last weekend. So.
Okay, that's great. How does that work? Like, you just take the stats as of week one and incorporate it?
Yeah, that's how it works. So a lot of the high-stakes events out in Vegas and stuff, they draft next weekend to kind of incorporate it with opening weekend of football.
Okay.
And if you have a draft after, like, a Thursday or a Friday night game, you have we call it a free look. You have the option to play the player or to not play the player. So it does give you a little bit of an extra kind of look at the games before they get going.
Yeah, there's so many different ways and so many variations of doing it. When you get into a league like that, I mean, do you like these things? Do you experiment? Like, from your standpoint, is it just for you trial and error in certain leagues every year, then you don't go back? Or, you know, how does it work for you when you decide, like, what formats you want to play and what you want to do every year?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I think it depends on, like, what your bandwidth is, like how much you can handle the different.
Yeah.
Like, a buddy of mine was just talking to me about guillotine. Like, that sounds like super fun, but it's just like with all the leagues, depending on if you do a lot of best ball, you can kind of dip your toes into everything, because best ball, you don't really have to set your lineups and stuff. But I've got so many lineup setting leagues that I'm kind of set into, like, what I like to do. I like to play at the FFWC Fantasy Football World Championships. The time amount. But there's so many fun leagues out there. There's dynasties, there's auctions, there's guillotines, there's home leagues have all types of crazy rules. But I just say people, especially when you're in a home league, just do whatever's most fun and then try something different every year.
Adam Krautwurst joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Is there a consensus number one? I've been in a couple of leagues and seen some things. My son did one last night, actually. And even in his league, he's 10 years old, Christian McCaffrey went number one. Is he the consensus?
I think he is. Even in leagues where you have to start three receivers and it makes them a little bit more valuable, I think it's still McCaffrey because of, you know, when he plays, he's going to be the number one ranked guy every single week. The question is, you know, when's that shoe going to drop? Is there going to be an injury? He was banged up in the playoffs last year and the year before. He's already been banged up this preseason, so it's a little scary. If you're only doing one league or two leagues, I would say go get the guy that you really want the most, whether that's CeeDee Lamb. I personally think at the end of the year, we're going to look back and see that Breece Hall was the number one running back. So if you're playing in one or two leagues, go get the guy that you want the most. If you're playing in a ton of leagues, then you usually should take McCaffrey at the 101 because you're not going to get an opportunity to take him kind of anywhere else in the draft. Christian McCaffrey is going to be the number one ranked running back week to week whenever he's healthy.
What about the rest of the kind of top end of the first round? I mean, it seems like it's all wide receivers except for a couple. Of course, there's a couple running backs like McCaffrey. But really, when you get into, if you have a 10-team or 12-team league, you're getting into the second round and like the top eight receivers seem to be gone already.
Yeah, that's how it works. I think people are kind of coming around to the fact that like receivers just get hurt less than running backs do, and so they don't want to blow. You know, they say you can't win your league in the first round, but you can lose it. It's really hard to win your league when your running backs are hurt, and there's just not a lot of workhorses sell like there used to be. Like you've got McCaffrey and probably Bijan and Breece Hall. Those guys are going to get all the goal line carries. They're going to get all the catches. But after that, even when you look at like Saquon and Jonathan Taylor, those guys are, I guess, traditional size workhorse backs, but they're not going to get the catches, I don't think, this year with the quarterbacks who don't like to throw to the running back, and they're going to lose goal line carries to Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson. So, there's only three, maybe four workhorse backs. So after that, man, go take your Amon-Ra St. Browns, your Tyreek Hills, and go get those receivers that can catch 120 balls.
Who do you like that isn't going among that group? Like, if you wait a few rounds, give me a couple names, a couple people out there you can help their draft a little bit here. Where's some value maybe at the wide receiver position in the middle rounds?
Wide receiver position, I really like if we're talking third round, I like Jalen Waddle this year a lot. I think he's kind of a post-type sleeper. He was going the second last year, was kind of dinged up a lot, but that offense, man, they know exactly what they're doing. I really like Waddle in the third round, fourth round. T. Higgins is a guy I've taken a lot of. This Ja'Marr Chase kind of hold-out thing kind of makes me nervous. Higgins has always been a second or third round pick. He's going in like the fifth, sixth round now. He's a guy, contract year, has looked really good. Burrow loves him. He has that trust there. And another kind of later guy, Deontay Johnson, is a guy that I've been taking a lot of. He's always been a huge target earner. He goes to Carolina. They added some weapons there to try to see if they can get something out of their number one overall pick there. And I think even in the preseason, he was getting all the work with the first team offense. He was getting all the targets, high target share. So he's a guy in your home league you can get as like your wide receiver four or five. And I think you'll really, really like that.
A tight end position is very interesting to me this year, Adam, and I've seen a lot of fluctuation there. And of course, there's a guess on what Dalton Kincaid's going to be this year, and I think he's going to be really good. And that's reflecting of it. I think you'd agree, in fantasy football drafts. But where does he fall? You have Mark Andrews and George Kittle, and Trey McBride is a really interesting one. That's been a really interesting spot for me to monitor this year.
Yeah, it's been fun because normally there's always like that number one alpha tight end, whether it's Kelsey for the last couple of years or Gronkowski before that or whatever, Jimmy Grant, like you've always had this number one. But this year, man, it could be anybody. Kelsey's not going to play as much, but when he does play, he's going to get the targets. But McBride, Laporta, Kelsey, Andrews, Kincaid, I could see any one of those guys finishing as the number one overall tight end. I kind of lean into McBride a little bit in Andrews. Andrews has done it before. Andrews has been the tight end one before. He got hurt last year. When he's not hurt, I think he's still the guy there. So I really like him. And McBride's kind of a coming on a star. He was unbelievable in the second half of last year once Kyler Murray got back. I think that rapport is going to click. But don't sleep on Evan Ingram. He's a guy I've been taking a lot in drafts. Him and Trevor Lawrence were awesome last year. This preseason, they were insane. They just had two touchdowns in their last preseason game. Lawrence has looked incredible. The Jaguars' offense has looked good. So if you miss out on those first four or five guys, don't forget about Evan Ingram because I think he's going to be really, really good.
Are you Are you among the movement of don't draft kickers anymore? I mean, I see a lot of leagues. We still do, and most of the leagues that I'm in, and I mean, I'm actually in a few leagues, but we still draft kickers in these leagues. But a lot of leagues have gone away from not drafting kickers anymore at all.
It doesn't matter to me. I think you should. Like, I think you should incorporate everything that you can for fantasy points. That's what makes it fun. You just have to understand that they're going to be volatile. You can't really predict them week to week because it's hard. I mean, I used to do projections for kickers for websites and stuff, and it's just like, well, you want a kicker on a good offense, but not too good because you don't want them to score a touchdown. You want them to kick a field goal. You know, you want guys that play in domes. You want it's just hard to predict defenses and kickers week to week. I think they should be in there, but I also wouldn't care. You know, it wouldn't hurt me either way if they were taken out.
Adam Krautwurst here joining us. It's the last weekend for fantasy football drafts, but as he said, it doesn't have to be. You could do a lot of different formats here. What other formats do you like right now? Guillotine, I started a couple years ago. Jeremy White runs our Guillotine League here. I really like it. Obviously, you could get out early, and then you're done. You have the best ball formats. I know Mike likes to play a lot of best ball formats. What have you gravitated to over the last few years?
Yeah, best ball is awesome because, you know, our favorite part of fantasy football is drafting, right? And best ball allows you to just draft your team. And for people who don't know, you draft your team and then you don't touch it. You don't set your lineup. There's no waivers. There's no trades. There's no nothing. And every week the computer pulls your highest scoring team, and that's what's played. So it's fun in the sense that you can go on and you can draft as many teams you ever wanted and not have to worry about the time consumption of setting lineups. So that's always fun. I always recommend that. The smaller idea leagues that I like to do is auction leagues. Auction leagues are my favorite because I feel like I have an edge, or if you think you really know your stuff, you have an edge in an auction league because you can get whoever you want. Let's say you think, you know, Christian McCaffrey is going to be the best player this year, but you have picked 10, you're never going to get him. In an auction league, you can go get your favorite players, your best guys, and you can build that way. I always suggest them. They're a little bit kind of, it's a newer, not newer thing, but guys are kind of intimidated by it. I would suggest just turn your home league into an auction league or add an auction league onto your schedule. You might absolutely love it. It's fun to kind of bid against your friends, bid up their favorite players and stuff like that. So that's always fun. But auction leagues are kind of where my head's at.
All right. And then obviously, if you're listening here in Buffalo, you may be in a league with a lot of Bills fans. And, you know, teams, people are going to take maybe their favorite players, their favorite team a little bit earlier than in most leagues. But let's just talk about a couple of Bills. So let's say you're going into a draft. You want to appropriately assess where you should take Keon Coleman or James Cook. We talked about Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel. Give me just the general feel maybe on those three guys. Let's go with Coleman, Cook, and Samuel.
Coleman, yeah. I've been getting this receiver question for like 5 months now, and I'm feeling more confident right now in Shakir than I am Coleman as far as, like, I just don't know what, you know, the Bills have been talking about, and you know this, so they've been talking about, hey, we want our red zone guys to be awesome in the red zone. We want our run-after-catch guys to be good after the catch, our hands guys to catch. They're kind of like putting them in their own little mold of what they're going to offer to the team. And Coleman, I think, is going to be that red zone guy. But, you know, in that preseason game, he couldn't get loose from coverage. He couldn't really get open. A couple of his passes were a little bit high, but I think he'll be okay. But in a rookie year, I feel like this is a guy that we might need to see progress. And I could see him end up being like the third receiver on this team, or even the fourth receiving option on this team week to week. So I'm kind of out on Coleman at fantasy value. Curtis Samuel was a guy that was kind of being seen as maybe their number one fantasy asset, but then he got dinged up. But I think he'll be ready for week one. But he's another guy. Again, if you're playing best ball, you can grab all these guys, and it doesn't matter what week you start them. But the guy that I've been kind of leaning on in the receiving core has been Shakir lately.
I'm glad you brought him up.
I just think he's going to be solid. He's going to probably have the most receptions out of any of the receivers. And he's just consistent. He's solid. And I think he has that rapport with Josh. So I would definitely, he would be the receiver that I would be grabbing. But James Cook is actually, I'm off of James Cook this year. I was, so he's a guy that I think he was second or third in the league in rushing last year. And he still only finished as RB13 overall in fantasy. And he didn't miss a game. So he finished as RB19 in points per game. So this is a guy that probably peaked as far as rushing is concerned and still couldn't get into the top 12 running backs. He's only got 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns through 2 seasons. And so it makes me nervous when you've got a guy that has question marks about his hands. He dropped 4 touchdowns and he doesn't get the goal line work. He's probably their third option on the goal line behind Josh Allen and the rookie running back. So He's a guy that at RB 13, 14 in drafts, I'm fading. I would rather have a guy later on or earlier than him. Not saying he's not going to be good for the Bills, but you want
right.
your running backs. For your running backs, you want guys that catch passes and score touchdowns, and he really doesn't do either.
No, it's a really good point, especially with the draft pick of Ray Davis. Where do you fall on Anthony Richardson? There's been a lot of variance on him.
Absolutely love him. Absolutely love him. I have him. It's hard to do for projections and have guys getting hurt, but if he plays, you know, every game or most of the games, I have him as my quarterback too. He's just going to run for 15 scores. He's going to run for close to 1,000 yards if he stays healthy. Now, if I'm drafting him, I am also drafting my second quarterback a little bit earlier than I normally would. Like, if I was going to draft like a Josh Allen, I might not even take us as a second quarterback, but if I've got Anthony Richardson, I might dip my toe into the water and get like a Tua or a Brock Purdy mm-hmm. just in case he gets hurt. You want to have that solid backup there to kind of be able to fill in for him. But game to game, Sal, I think he played three games last year and he was like quarterback one, quarterback three, and quarterback seven. Like the guy's just, he's unbelievable.
And then finally, Adam, on quarterbacks, how about the rookies? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, obviously we know JJ's not going to play. Obviously, Drake May is not going to start. Maybe that's someone you want to take later on because he could get inserted at any point. Where do you fall on the rookies?
I love the rookies again. Those rookies that have the dual, the rushing is what really mm-hmm. leads to the upside for these guys. I loved Jaden Daniels. He's a crazy athlete, and he has a really good deep ball, and he even showed that in the preseason. So I really like him, but he's been steamed up ever since he had that nice preseason game. So it's hard to get him at value. But Caleb Williams, how can you go wrong there, too? A guy who can run and throw and has a ton of weapons. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. I mean, the guy's got weapons galore, and you saw that against the Bills. A play would break down, he dumps it over the top to Swift, and he goes for 30 yards. So I really like them outside of the elite guys. I like them maybe QB12, QB10, somewhere in there. I think you're going to be fine with them. You're going to be happy with them, but they might be a little inconsistent. But I think at the end of the year, they'll be there.
Adam Krautwurst, local guy too. He's out in Rochester, but he's helping you out for your fantasy football drafts no matter where you are drafting, no matter where your draft is and who you're doing it with. Give everybody all the information about where you can help everybody this year.
Yeah, for sure. I'm over at Full-Time Fantasy. You can check them out at the Fantasy Football World Championships. I do a weekly podcast with them and also a weekly podcast at Deep End FF1 with Mike Shope. We go over all the kind of the weekly stuff that happened on Sunday and recap that. And you can find me at Adam_Krautwurst on Twitter as well.
Great job, buddy. Thanks always for doing this. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road and talk some more fantasy.
Thanks so much, Sal.
All right, you got it. Adam Krautwurst right there on the Wester Hotline. All right, yesterday in the Bills locker room, told you earlier, got some sound for you from Joe Andreessen, who made the 53, Mike White, new quarterback, Brandon Codrington, new punt returner. I also caught up with the two other University at Buffalo Bulls. There's three of them. The veteran, Cam Lewis. Here's what he had to say. Okay, three Buffalo Bulls on this roster. Tell me the secret. Tell me what you feel about it.
I don't know, man. We're a hardworking university. Breed the underdogs. You know, we just grind, and then we just wait for our opportunity. So it's wonderful to have three UB Bulls up here and on the same team, man. That's wonderful.
Gone through a few coaching changes at that level since you've been here. Have you gotten to know Coach Lembo at all?
Not yet, man, but I'm going to go to the game on Thursday, so I'm going to meet him, check him out. Hopefully come down with a win, so go out there and cheer him on, man. I'm excited.
And you've seen Jamarcus's, growth to this point. How cool is it for him?
It's really awesome, man. It's kind of just like me, man, just starting off on the practice squad like 2 years in a row, and then the third time around, man, just doing whatever you got to do. To make the team, and that's what he did, man. He had an awesome preseason playing outside, and then they start sprinkling in that nickel too, and then special teams ability helps as well. So I'm super proud of him, man, and Joe as well, man, just taking his opportunities that was given to him and making the most of it.
That is Cam Lewis, University at Buffalo. We're going to talk to Paul Peck in a little while because they do play tonight. You heard him say, he might get a chance to go to the game here tonight. They're playing Lafayette, but in the meantime, another UB Bull. Jamarcus Ingram makes the 53. Hey, listen, if you've listened to this show for the last 2 years, you know that I've been on the Jamarcus Ingram train for quite a while. I think this kid can play. I'm super happy for him. Great local story as well from a local university, of course, at the University of Buffalo. He made the 53. He also asked him, I asked him, about what Cam said about his journey, reflecting what Jamarcus's Ingram's journey has been.
So just to start it off, just how did it feel to just know that you made the 53-man roster? Man, it's a blessing. Really, that's all I can say. It's a blessing. And shoot, I was excited, you know, I got to tell my family and just, you know, embrace the moment and kind of just live in the moment, you know what I'm saying, and just enjoy it and, you know, continue to put one foot right in front of the other.
What did you work on this offseason to ensure that you would be here?
Really just, you know, my mindset and my technique, you know what I'm saying, and what I, the things that I do every day, you know, fundamentals, and really, like I said, the mindset, you know what I'm saying, just the belief, you know what I'm saying, knowing that I could do it, and then also just embracing, you know, the opportunity that was presented.
Three University of Buffalo Bulls. How do you feel about that, and how cool is that?
Man, that's amazing. You know, for us to be, you know, the hometown heroes, that's how I kind of look at it. Being from the country and stuff like that, you know, that's kind of like something that, you know.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A lot of people do, you know, being a hometown hero, you come back and, you know, but with being in Buffalo, you know, it's amazing that three of us, you know, can put on for Buffalo and just so you know that anything is possible.
Cam just told me that your journey reminds him a lot of his journey. Started out in the practice squad, had to really fight to earn a spot, and then he's here. How much have you leaned on Cam through your time here?
All the time. You know, Cam is a great guy. Being able to, you know, talk to him and kind of pick his brain on what he's been through, you know, and what it takes, you know, to be in the league as long as he has, you know. And he actually came to Buffalo when I was at Buffalo. He came back and worked out with us and stuff like that and gave us some wisdom and knowledge. So, you know, being able to come to work, you know, with him every day, it's great to have him around and somebody that I sit by every day in special teams, you know, and just ask him, like, questions and how he sees the game and you know, just playing multiple positions, kind of like, you know, him. So always trying to learn from him and grow from him. And he's a great guy, you know, to be able to learn from every day.
Jamarcus Ingram, Cam Lewis, University at Buffalo Bulls, Joe Andreessen, University at Buffalo. Tonight, UB, they take on Lafayette at home. We're going to talk with Paul Peck, voice of the Bulls, next up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, the buy-in has been tremendous. It has been a pleasure to work with these guys. I can count the number of practices since we got here on one hand that I haven't been totally excited about the effort and the chemistry that's building out there. So I do believe these guys love what they do. They're invested. They're buying into the culture. They're practicing hard. I think that'll translate to playing hard. Now the key is how quickly can we come together and put a product out there on the field to look as if we've been together for a few years and not just a few months.
That is University at Buffalo Bulls head coach Pete Lembo. He joined me last week here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can hear all of his comments on demand at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. Lafayette at UB tonight. the college football season kicking off here locally and a lot of games around the nation. 30 games I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about this morning. That's amazing. We are here, folks. It is football season, college football this weekend. Joining me on the West Her Hotline, Paul Peck, voice of the Bulls, former anchor here in Buffalo in sports, talk show host, I think former Mike Tirico roommate at Syracuse. He's done a little bit of everything, right? Do I have that right? Were you Tirico's roommate?
That is correct.
All right.
I don't know what that qualifies me for, if anything, other than he gets me tickets every once
in a while. There you go.
When he can. So,
I love it.
That's just a little backstory of my life is we've been friends for 30 plus years and to this day, and he's one of the finest men I have ever been around, and I don't think that'll surprise anybody that watches how well he does his job.
No doubt about it. And you've been doing this job for a while, covering UB. How many years for you now on the call for the UB Bulls?
25.
Wow.
And I don't tend to get hung up on those kinds of things in general, but when it occurred to me that this is year 25 for me doing UB football, you do kind of step back and go, hey, it's that's kind of cool. Like, to be able to do this job for that long at one place, I'm incredibly fortunate and thankful to everybody at UB through that course of time that they allow me to stick around and call football, and it's just it's the most fun part of my life, and I appreciate it very much. So yeah, it's a pretty cool little milestone personally.
And of course, we'll carry the game here locally on the Bet 1520 Lafayette at the University of Buffalo tonight. They're getting kicked off at 7 p.m. Well, 25 years, you've been through a lot of different staffs and coaching changes. That's just what the nature of the business is, no matter what sport you're covering. How about Pete Lembo? I talked to him last week, but this is our first chance to see him as the head coach of the Bulls. Of course, he's been in the conference before. What can you tell us about Coach Lembo and what you've seen so far?
He's awesome, and I think you got a sense of that when you interviewed him last week. He's a football coach. This is his fourth head coaching job. That experience is immeasurable in that he's been there, he's done that, he's seen it, he knows it. He's just a great guy, great personality, loves his pop culture and his 80s movies, trivia, and history. Like, he's just an awesome guy to want to sit around and talk football with. But as a football coach, he's got a great resume. He's been very successful in this conference. He has then now been very successful as a special teams coordinator at a bunch of big-time schools, considered one of the best special teams coaches in the country. So he just brings a different attitude of, I'm not learning on the job. I know what I need. I know what I got. He brought a great group of assistants, mostly younger, but almost all of them with ties to him, so they know what he wants. So he can be the CEO, which I believe even in college now, you have to be a great CEO as a head coach and trust your assistants to implement what you want to do on the field. Pete is great at that. The Bulls are, even through the course of preseason and spring ball, much better prepared, much better managed. The attitude's been great. You talk to any of the players, they just love being in the building now. And losing over the last couple of years probably has something to do with the opposite feeling. But to me, it's just the difference of a guy who's been 33 years in coaching, fourth head coaching stop, versus a guy in Mo Lingus last year who was at his first head coaching job. And it's just hard to learn and know when you haven't done the job before.
What about on the field? What are we going to expect from the Bulls? Give fans maybe a little preview of some of the names to watch out for this year, to look for when they go to a game, they watch them on TV, and who might be really the catalysts for this team to try them, help to get them back on top of the MAC.
Yeah, and again, all that said about Coach, in the world that we live in now, they lost some good players to the portal. They brought a lot of transfer players in. They're relying on a lot of players that haven't really played a lot and are untested. And will they be, better coached and better planned and all that stuff? But ultimately, there's a lot of question marks. It starts at quarterback, not really a lot of experience. CJ Agbana played a little bit last year as sort of a running athletic option for the offense, but didn't look great, but he'll be the starter. He's started at the FCS level before. He's won a junior college national championship. He's been the guy before, but never really here. And I think a lot of it will depend on how well he settles into the job, how much Can this coaching staff get out of him that they may not have been able to get out of him last year? He looks a lot better, a lot more confident, a lot more comfortable just through the preseason, so that's a good sign. You know, the have a couple of really young, exciting players at running back. Al J. Henderson is a junior at running back, played a little bit 2 years ago, was hurt most of last year. And then the guy that'll share the running back duties with is a kid from Ohio named Lamar Sperling, who was the USA Today National High School Player of the Year 2 years ago, and he ran for over almost 4,000 yards as a senior in Akron, Ohio. So there's a guy a little bit smaller, undersized, but man, you just don't see those kind of credentials at the MAC level. And if he can play to that, he'll be a really exciting, you know, in that tradition of Jarrett Patterson and some of the other great running backs. Nick McMillan, the kid from Buffalo who was at Canisius High School for a good part of his career, is likely the number one target at receiver and a guy who really could break through and emerge this year. So those are some of the names on offense. On defense, a lot more experience and a lot more veteran group. Sean Dolak, the West Seneca kid, back and healthy. He'll be the leader of defense. They have another linebacker named Red Murdoch, who has really started to emerge last year, makes a lot of plays. Marcus Fuqua is a safety who had 7 interceptions and was an All-American 2 years ago. And there's a whole group of other experienced guys in the secondary. So I think the defense is ahead of their offense right now, just based on experience and proven play. And we'll see whether the defense can carry this team for a little while until the offense settles in. And I will say this to you, we don't talk about this a lot, but Pete Lembo's a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. They've spent a lot of time on special teams.
Yep.
At practice, I think strategically, because it's what Pete knows, I think he feels like there's an advantage there. If this team has the best or one of the better special teams in the conference, you might win a couple games that way that maybe you wouldn't because your offense is struggling a little bit. So, again, back to a plan, right? There's a plan there from a guy who's seen it and done it, and Pete probably said, you know what, we're gonna win some games on special teams or create some field position advantages for us and make life easier on our offense and defense.
By the way, Red Murdoch sounds like the title character of a movie, and you do not want to run into him.
That is correct, right? Yeah, that's a good middle linebacker, isn't it?
That's a great,
really is.
I love that for sure. Yeah. What does the MAC look like this year from doing your research around the conference? A lot of changes, obviously, across college football, but what does the MAC look like this year?
Well, here's where it could be an advantage for a program like Buffalo's. Toledo and Miami are likely the two head and shoulders teams. Miami is bringing really the best quarterback back. Toledo always has a lot of talent, lost some players, including a first-round draft pick last year, but they always have a lot of talent. There's a couple other schools, Western Michigan, Northern Illinois, look like they've got some players. The rest of the league is exactly where UB is. Lots of question marks, lost quarterbacks, untested quarterbacks, best players went into the portal, went to Power 4 programs. So there's about a 7 or 8 team jumble of the 12 teams in the MAC where I don't know that there's any of those teams that you could say right now is much better than the other. It'll have to play itself out, which again goes back to, man, if you have the best special teams at UB in that group, maybe you win a couple of those games. So it's the MAC is kind of what it is, right? If you're a Group of Five program in college football now, you're kind of a farm system. It's going to be hard to keep your best players. There's going to be turnover, coaching staff, and so forth. So it's a very much a year-to-year, and there's a lot in the MAC that is – were they good last year? Yeah, but their 3 best players are gone. Are they going to be good this year? There's a lot of that.
Paul, you're in a unique perspective. You've watched all 3 of these new Buffalo Bills who played at the University of Buffalo at their various points in their career. Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, and of course now, Joe Andreessen. First of all, just from your perspective, how cool is it to see 3 Buffalo Bulls playing for the local NFL team, the Buffalo Bills? And if you could just kind of touch on those 3 players and their journey to get here and what you've seen.
Yeah, it's awesome. The nice thing is right now the Bulls have about 10 players in the NFL right now on practice squads and rosters, which is amazing for what the program is. But of those 3 guys, what they have in common is, is they were all undrafted. They were all very good players here, but that doesn't always mean you get the chance to do it at the NFL. And whether the Bills scouts saw enough of those games because it was local to see what we all saw. Cam Lewis was one of the best players in the MAC. On that loaded team, 2018 and 19, when the Bulls were top 25, 2020 going to Bulls, like, he was one of the best players. You know, Lance Leipold called him one of the toughest players he's ever been around. But he was smaller. And, you know, the coaches would say, stop throwing yourself in the pile to make tackles. You're going to get hurt, because he did a little bit here at UB. But you know, to see what he has been able to do, smart, in the right place, knows where he needs to go, not the most physically gifted guy. Cam's one of my all-time favorites, and I couldn't be happier to see the kind of success he had. Jamarcus Ingram was really a one-year guy here after a couple of other stops, brought in, started the whole year at corner, played okay. You know, I mean, I don't know that I would have told you if you'd asked me going into that year that this guy is an NFL player. But again, good, smart, physical, long, enough for the Bills to see something in him to develop. And they've given him the time to do that, which you don't always get in the NFL. And look where he is now as a key guy in your secondary. And, of course, the Joe Andreessen story is amazing. Again, only a one-year guy here. And I'll say this to you, Sal, and you'll know what I mean. Joe Andreessen has Sean Dolak to thank for a lot of this. Because if Sean doesn't get hurt last year and he missed the last seven games of the year, I don't know that Joe plays as much as he did here. Puts up the numbers that he did here, opens some people's eyes that he did here. Joe was great last year, led the team in tackles, led the team in tackles for loss, which is always a indicator of athletic ability and smarts, yep, which is exactly what has made helped him make the Bills. But, you know, what a crazy story from rookie tryout to, you know, the last guy on the team. He was an FCS player and then moved here for the 1 year because at the level that he played, they didn't let you redshirt. So he had 1 year of eligibility left, but couldn't stay where he was at Bryant. So he came home to play for the Bulls. And again, circumstances with, you know, the depth at linebacker was pretty good for the Bulls last year. Sean gets hurt. Joe plays every snap. And look where he is now. It's an amazing story and an awesome kid, and I'm so happy for him.
All right, two things before I let you go. Number one, give everybody a good reason to go out to watch the UB football team play tonight at UB Stadium against Lafayette.
Hey, college football is not the NFL, right?
Yep.
As much as sometimes it's getting that way with money and salary caps and all the other stuff, it's fun. It's unpredictable, right? You never know. That the great thing that I love about those 25 years of calling games is I never could walk into that stadium knowing exactly what was going to happen, and that's what's great about college football. It's a fun atmosphere. There'll be a good turnout by the students. It's a nice night today. You've got a new coach that's likable, that loves Buffalo. You got a bunch of Buffalo kids playing hard. It's not the NFL. It never will be. But is it a fun, cheap, easy evening to go watch some football to start your Labor Day weekend off? Absolutely. And just understand what it is. And the Bulls are kind of rebuilding a little bit, and they've got some question marks. But as far as the entertainment value, I think that's absolutely, for a football fan who wants to get themselves back in the football mode, it should be a great night tonight at UB Stadium.
That's a great promotion. And finally, tomorrow, Paul, I'll be talking here on this program with John Wildhack, Syracuse University Athletics Director. Now, they open up, obviously, at home against Ohio. A big change there with Fran Brown. We know he can recruit. We have to find out if he can coach. Is there anything else that you'd like me to ask John Wildhack about Syracuse University tomorrow?
You know, I mean, again, they're putting their stock into a guy with a great resume, but he's never been a head coach before, and he's got a lot of ties to the Northeast, which I think is important. They brought a lot of high-profile players in, including Devin Grant, who was an All-MAC player for the Bulls last year at safety, is going to play and start for Syracuse this year. So they were very aggressive, and, you know, it's you know, I think just ask them, you know, and I'm sure you will, you know, what was appealing about what Fran Brown's plan was. And at least to this point, they did a pretty good job winning the offseason. You know, we'll see how it goes. They're in a tough league, right? It's a tough league. They're sort of an outlier with Boston College and Pitt in a mostly Southern league. So I think they're always kind of climbing uphill a little bit at Syracuse now, but That doesn't mean you can't be a good, solid, upper-middle program and get to a bowl game, and that's probably what John will tell you is the goal right now.
Fran Brown's plan. I have it written down in my notes, buddy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hey, great job. Good luck this year. You've always done a great job, but have a great season, and we'll be listening on the call tonight on the Bet 1520 and all season long. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. 7 o'clock with Scott Wilson and Brad Ryder. We have a great group, and we try to have some fun, and hopefully the games provide us some fun. We'll do our best for that, and we're looking forward to another fun season. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, Paul. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the game.
Thanks.
Paul Peck right there on the Wester Hotline. We'll take a timeout, and I'll set up tomorrow for you. John Wildhass is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. The Raiders have signed Justin Shorter to their practice squad. The only thing, I got to tweet this out because I'm going to ask, did Justin Shorter switch positions? Because is he the new Jordan Matthews, who did do that, by the way? Because the Raiders put him as a tight end. Justin Shorter is a wide receiver. Now, maybe he's going to wear 88. That is a tight end number. I mean, it could be a receiver number too, but generally you see tight ends wearing 88. All right, Justin Shorter. He's now a Raider. Yes, tomorrow, real quick, tomorrow, John Wildhack, Syracuse University Athletics Director, is going to join me. We do it every year. He's going to preview their game Saturday at home against Ohio to kick off the season, talk about their new head coach, Fran Brown. Also, some of the issues going on with college athletics these days, not only NIL and portal, but also realignment, TV contracts, the college football playoff. There's a lot that we can get to tomorrow with John Wildhack. I have not yet reached out to Patrick Cameron, but if he's available, I'll try to get him on tomorrow just to give you a Labor Day weekend forecast and maybe it's kind of a slight, who knows, look ahead to week number one, which is just 10 days away. Bills and the Arizona Cardinals. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Then it's Show and the Bulldog here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.